The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear, we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller, with you today on this third day of August, 2016. I do believe it is a Wednesday. We used to refer that to hump day. I'm not so sure that I look forward to the end of the week or the beginning of the week or the next week, unless things drastically change. One day hardly seems different from the other, does it? I've got on with me today, and he was on with me a couple of weeks ago with his book, Technocracy Rising, the Trojan Horse of Global Transformation. And Patrick Wood is here today to talk about something that is not really part of the normal living human beings, you know, understanding. You know, how is it that everything is transformed, major shift in changes and views and morality and ethics, and on it goes? Well, you've heard this term bandied about in this election cycle for the guy that wants to be the head of the corporation, the United States corporation. You doubt that, go look it up in the business books. But it's the social justice and economics. But not just economics, politics, and religion. Patrick, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
I'm doing just fine, John. Thanks for asking me back again.
Anytime. You're a guy that's been around for a while. You understand the globalization, the mechanizations, how it got us there. But more importantly, and I must admit, well done propagandizing campaign or programming that people have received over the years. Black Lives Matter, this is about social justice. Whether you receive free Obama phones or whether you receive your fair share from the government because, well, you're a welfare recipient. Mm-hmm. You know, we can go on with the laundry list, but where has this one come from? Where did this social justice and, you know, we all can be equal and well-meaning and all-knowing bureaucrats in the various governments, not only here but globally, it seems that they know how to fix it. So why are we so resistant?
Well, you know, this whole concept of social justice has been around for a very long time. It means different things to different people, I'm sure. The average guy on the street has no clue. It's just a phrase that somebody says, this really sounds good. You know, they just use it like the word sustainability. It just sounds so substantive. You know, I want to be sustainable. Of course I do. I want to live a long life and prosper, you know, like Spock said. But they don't understand that social justice is a term that has reared its ugly head throughout the last 100, 200 years of history, 180 years of history. And it's been the most destructive, singularly the most destructive doctrine that the doctrine of Marxism ever foisted upon the planet. And it goes like this. Here's the scam. This has been the plan and the plot. You got two groups of people. Group number one has a lot of stuff. Group number two doesn't have a lot of stuff. You go to group number two and say, have you seen all this stuff that group number one has? They got more stuff than you. You know, they've been cheating you all these years, and you have a right to have some of their stuff. You've been on the short end of the stick here. So they set up a class warfare conflict where those people in group two go to group one and say, we want some of your goods. We want some of your booty, if you will. And group number one, of course, says, get lost, get off my lawn. And group number two says, we won't get lost. We want some of your stuff, and we're not willing to work for it like you work for it. We just want it because we're entitled to it. Now, if group number one doesn't capitulate, what eventually happens, and often they just won't capitulate, what eventually happens is group number two says, well, if you won't give it to us voluntarily, we're going to take it by force. We'll just go and take it by force. And if you get in the way of our force, you're probably going to die, by the way. And this thinking, John, in the last century resulted in the death of almost 100 million people at the hands of their Marxist communist rulers, Stalin, Lenin, Mao Zedong, Pol Pot, the revolutions in Africa and South America, the genocides that took place, Nazi Germany. All of these movements were predicated on social justice, and that was the exact scam that they used on every single one of them that resulted in those genocidal traumas to the planet. It was incredible.
And there was something else that Mr. Spock was famous for saying. The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few or the one. And that sounds good as well. That sounds like it has substance to it. But what we're actually talking about is if it's a system of justice or a system of government, if you, the individual, do not have full protection and benefit of that government, and I'm not talking about the welfare state and the handouts, but the benefit of what that government is supposed to provide you, which is actually very little. Patrick, we were supposed to have a Republican form of government. That was their first duty, to make sure that that stood in place. But it was for the defense of the country. That was also a primary duty. But there have been a lot of additions made for the social well-being and welfare of the society. And when I look at this, if the system does not work for the hardworking individual, and you mentioned property, that Group B wants to come over and take Group A stuff. Well, there's that little thing about property. And Patrick, when you say property, most people think of ground or earth or acreage. No, property is anything that rightfully belongs to one individual, no matter what it is. His own life, his property, his soil, his acreage, or whatever else.
His ideas
as well, absolutely. And this whole thing has been perverted. But, I was reading your latest article here on your website, and you go back to the church with this thing. And the first question I had for you, because it goes back to the church somewhere around, there was some concepts floating around back in the 1800s, but it really didn't come into full view or fruition until about 1970. Isn't that about the same time we had the Catholic Reformation?
Well, it was, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
I have to say that the whole, the theology, the Marxist theology that kind of turned Africa upside down and countries in South America upside down, was a merger of this thinking of social justice, that, the class warfare that Marx promoted. And it is important to note that the first person to bring the term up, that created the term social justice, was a Jesuit priest of all things from the 1840s, Luigi Taparelli. I never heard of this guy until I did the research. Good old Luigi. Well, Luigi got together with somebody. I don't know what, maybe, however he cooked this up, but he came up with the idea of social justice in an economic sense, just like it is today, meaning that one group has more than another, and that's not right. People should be equal. Redistribution of wealth was foreseen as the end of social justice wherever it started. Luigi Taparelli started it on behalf of the Catholic Church, but at the same time, and I might add within probably a 2 or 3 year period, Karl Marx also came up with a theory of social justice, and he also used that very term, and he couched it as a little bit different, but basically he called it the science of socialism. And of course, everybody knows that Marxism was about wealth redistribution, so you have that common theme. Did Marx know Luigi Taparelli? I have no idea. I don't have a clue. I'd like to find out. I'm not sure how I would do that. If anybody listening knows that they were good friends, or maybe they were brother-in-law or something, I don't know.
Well, there's a name for this, and this is when the church started this, the new Catholic doctrine that many, many, many people had problems with. But that little Marxist version of it came into being in the 1970s, and they called it liberation theology.
That's right. They met face to face. Finally, that's the way I look at it. If they didn't know each other originally, they met face to face in the early 70s, late 60s, early 70s, and it became known as liberation theology. And it was a mess. It was horrible. But it was just a continuation of all the stuff we saw in the earlier part of the century with the Bolshevik Revolution, with the Chinese Revolution, with Nazi Germany. with the Cambodian genocide, it was all the same stuff. Just, you know, taking from the rich, giving to the poor, conning the people into thinking that you're Robin Hood. You know, that's got to be good. Oh, I'm stealing from the rich, but it's a good stealing. It's you know, it's okay to steal from them, and I'm giving it to the poor, the people who need it. What could be wrong with that? I'm only keeping 5% for myself. Or whatever, you know.
Yeah. Nelson Mandela, he has been regarded and revered through the media in this country as being the savior of Africa, when in fact he had himself a Marxist philosophy. And this was rather strange to me how the whole thing was portrayed. They came up with a cute name for it, something that was never used before, but they used the term apartheid. Yep. Now, it was broadcast around the world how these poor black Africans were being, for a lack of a better term, keeping the blacks in Africa at slave status. Now, I never heard of one case in Africa of whatever country, whether it be Zimbabwe, Rhodesia, South Africa, whatever, any black man had the means and the worth ethic to build a business, that there was some mean white guy standing there with a club in his hand ready to beat him to death because, well, he dare not step out of his slave status. And that's the way it was sold, that it was about equality, Patrick. That these people are long suffering under the white rule in Africa, and it's got to be stopped.
It was social justice, wasn't it? That's what it was, justice.
Exactly right. And now, since I guess you could say Africa has been liberated, how many hundreds of thousands of white people have been killed?
Oh, my gosh, it's just staggering. In fact, being a farmer in South Africa right now is the riskiest profession on the planet when you measure the total population of farmers versus how many are killed every year. You do not want to be a white farmer in South Africa these days.
Well, and to be honest, Patrick, I had to really, do some soul searching, because some of the stories, along with the pictures and photographs of people being butchered, and I mean families, literally, yes. Renegades coming on the farms with machetes and machine guns, just murdering farmers and their families simply because they were white. And when I saw this, the natural tendency for a normal human being with a conscience is you want to deny that that's really real. That how could people actually, no matter what their skin color, how could they do that? How could they justify cold-blooded murder on somebody that hadn't done anything to them? I guess it's part of that new theology. I don't know.
Well, that was the whole point of liberation theology. If they wouldn't give it to you, take it by force. And they took it by force. I'll tell you a little anecdotal story. I visited Rhodesia in somewhere around 1974, 1975. And I went through the capital city, stayed there two or three days. And one night, it wasn't the night I got there, but one night I went out on the street about 10 o'clock. And, you know, they had some stoplights and stuff. It was a pretty nice modern city. And I was walking on the street. There was quite a few people still out. And I noticed white women walking alone by themselves on the street. You wouldn't do that in America at that time either. And I saw black people walking on the street, and I saw other, you know, white businessmen and stuff walking on the street. And he come to a stoplight where everybody would gather, you know, waiting for the thing to turn green to walk. And I was watching people strike up conversations with each other, white women and black guys and other, you know, business people or whatever. And people were just as friendly can be. And honestly, John, it shocked me. I'll never forget my feeling that I had when I saw the kind of safety that these people were enjoying in this supposedly evil, evil colonial nation. It's just amazing to me. Within 5 years, that was turned upside down. Nobody would go anywhere outside their home without an escort or without a gun.
Well, here in America, we've seen the latest rendition of social justice and social equality, Black Lives Matter.
Yes, indeed.
But a lot of people are starting to get confused about this because it was supposed to initially be out of the examples of black kids getting mowed down by trigger-happy cops. And I'll say right from the outset, the mindset of the the police in the country today is, I've called it pretty much mission creep, that they have been militarized in their thought processes. And, of course, they've been told that no matter what happens out there in the field, that, you know, your first priority to yourself and your police department is to get home safe. So if there's, even if you feel threatened by a ankle biter chihuahua while trying to serve paperwork at a house, you got the right to shoot the damn thing. I mean, this is how insane everything has gotten. But getting back to the point about the Black Lives Matter, we now find them roaming the streets and chanting, kill the pigs, kill the cops. I don't think that has anything to do with social justice, because there have been over 335,000 blacks that were killed by blacks in just the last 35 years. Now, this is something that the controlled media in this country does not want to talk about. And many people, Patrick, have blamed the liberal media, if you will, on actually fueling the Black Lives Matter just by giving them the coverage that they didn't deserve. And Patrick, what I find most ironic about all of this is somebody getting in my face and screaming that you have to respect me. You got to show me respect. And I've always was taught since I was knee high to understand the English language, and my mother, as she spoke to me, is respect is not given, respect is earned.
You're right, just like money. And I have to say that Black Lives Matter is just another expression of social justice in this sense. People say, group number one, you're group number one, you get respect. They don't get respect. So they're going to go steal some of your respect for themselves.
All right, let's take the break here. I've got with me today Patrick M. Wood, author of Technocracy Rising, The Trojan Horse of Global Transformation. And we're talking about specifically social justice, sustainable development, or even the green economy. Sounds good, doesn't it? We'll be back in three.
While the large majority of Americans have never heard of cryptocurrency, it is the medium of exchange of the future that has already begun. On the other hand, the large majority of RBN listeners are very aware of the corruption within the Fed and the trillions in counterfeit money and credit it has created. Well, would you like to do something about this? OneCoin, the fastest growing company of any kind in world history, will pay you to help do away with the Federal Reserve. Henry Ford didn't invent the automobile, but he surely developed many great improvements in the industry. In 1927, talking pictures made silent movies obsolete overnight, and email has practically done away with the need for a fax machine. With cryptocurrency, Bitcoin became the pioneer in 2009. But now OneCoin, as the first ever gold-backed cryptocurrency, has moved to the top of the industry in only 2 years, and its impact on the financial world could be devastating to the Fed. Bill Gates and Richard Branson and all the jillionaires are already acknowledging that this system of paying for goods and services is becoming what will be recognized as the new worldwide reserve currency. For more information, call Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911. Again, that's Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and, of course, you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at numanarepublic.com. That's NUMANARepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Wasn't that the idea when we started out in school? That's what they said the Constitution was about. Wasn't that the idea when we started
out? To actually say that you learned anything about the Constitution in our public school system. Patrick, we're heading headlong into a situation, and politically, if I could spend just a moment on that, politically, I don't know where people's thought processes or their perspective is at, but we were witness to a full-blown self-proclaimed socialist running for presidency on a Democratic ticket, and I can see really little difference. And Bernie was about the social justice thing as well, but that's part of Hillary's campaign as well. But she is an animal of a different color. But just to take a look at what is running for president today in this country, I would simply, if I had to distill it all down, I would simply say that the reason why this happened is because, well, we've not had that Republican form of government. We've not had the pride in what we once were, and it's like anything else. The Indians didn't use printed text. They didn't do books. They didn't do records. They didn't do movies. What they would do is tell their stories generation to generation to generation, and that's something that has literally stopped in this country. So I can see how that people arrive at this point in this country where they're a little bit confused as to what their role of what the role of government is, but more importantly, what their role as a human being just living on the planet Earth. and then taking your form of government and just throwing it out the window, just totally, you know, because I've read the Constitution, I read the preamble, I read the Constitution, I looked at the Bill of Rights, I've read the thinking of the founders, their thought processes, and what kind of government we need to set up, and I'm looking at this, and I'm going, oh my God. So the philosophies and the theology, if you will, are being taught to the people, but not necessarily through the institutions themselves, directly to the public. That's something that they would recognize. But it has changed and it has morphed. And there is absolutely no direct comparison. So you can gauge where the hell you're at.
That's right. We're the frogs in the pan of boiling water. And now we're starting to look like frog legs, ready to serve on the plate.
Oh man!
No, it is over the top. And what's going on with the political process in the country today is so unplugged from history. I've never seen anything like it in my life. It's completely unplugged from history. You have two people that are running, and who knows who's going to get in? I'm not sure that it matters a whole lot because the whole country is so screwed up. But whoever gets in, the other half of the country is going to be in near revolt. You know that. If Hillary gets in, the Trumpists are going to be absolutely incensed. And if Trump gets in, you know that all of the socialists, many of them who follow Bernie, and all of the Hillary devotees, they're going to be fighting mad. So, in that sense, the people can't win. We're not going to get unity out of this, any way you look at it.
Well, and Patrick, let me just throw something in here. And this isn't often used, and it's a tired phrase, but it is true. There's 100 million people in this country that are out of work, that don't have anything to do. They've got too much time in their hands. Maybe if there were jobs available and they went back to work, maybe they wouldn't be following these people, these saviors of society and the world. Maybe they wouldn't be following them around because they'd be getting back to the business of working and living and raising children and, you know, the normal sorts of things.
That would be a novel idea. You know, I hate to bring up FDR, but, you know, during the Great Depression, one of the things that FDR did with the WPA program was to take everybody that was out of work and that wanted to be on a government dole and put them to work on road projects and stuff around the country. There's many, many walls and many bridges and stuff that still stand today because they were built by people on WPA work programs. And, you know, America wouldn't stand for that today, I'm sure, if you said somebody that was on, you know, out of work and on a welfare, say, well, there's something you can do in your community. We'll find something. We'll get you to work, and at least you'll have three squares a day, and the community will be better off because you put some elbow grease in. Oh no, I don't want to work. I just want my food stamps or whatever. I don't want to work for it. You mean I have to work for it? Nah. If you can't give me a job and I can't have my car and you know all this, that, and the other, I don't want it. I'll just take my welfare check. Thank you very much. Yeah, I don't think you could pull that off today, but you know, it makes you wonder with all the people out of work, maybe some of them really do want to work. Maybe some of them just flat out don't want to work and got too much money from the government and don't need to work.
Well, Patrick, the way I've seen this and the way I view it is it may have started out as being, you know, we had welfare programs for those that, you know, for various reasons, and it was touted because America was racist toward them and they didn't have the job opportunities or whatever. But what I saw happen is setting up a welfare system, a welfare state, and really, really creating, you want to talk about creating injustices, You know, who isn't? If somebody is walking around passing out free money, are you going to refuse it? If you were sitting at a bus stop and there's three people sitting on a bench and a guy walks up and hands the other two a $100 bill and he looks at you and says, here, have a $100 bill. Are you going to reject it? There's no strings to it. The guy walks off after he disseminates some of that wealth. You're not going to really challenge that. You're going to go to that park bench or that bus stop every single day with your hand up. We're talking with Patrick Wood today, Technology Rising, author of that book, new book. We'll be back in three.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Would odors, mold, and mildew describe your basement or crawl space? It doesn't have to be that way. Transform them into a fresh, healthy, usable one with the technologically advanced Wave Moisture Control Units. The computerized operation maximizes moisture control and also expels harmful radon, combustion gases, and numerous other pollutants. Dehumidifiers are old technology that do nothing for air quality and waste energy. Wave units are intelligent, self-monitoring, do not need maintenance, and will save you hundreds in electricity. Wave units are still running effectively over 15 years. They've been tested and installed in public and military housing and by property managers nationwide. Buy a unit now, and if your home is not fresher and drier, you can return it for a full refund for up to 12 months. What have you got to lose? Call now. 1-888-618-WAVE. 1-888-618-WAVE. Or visit mydryhome.com. That's mydryhome.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
back talking today with Patrick Wood. And if by chance you've been hiding in the woods someplace, you don't know who this guy is. He's an economist by education, financial analysis, a writer by profession, an American constitutionalist by choice. He's got a pretty good handle on historical insights into the modern attacks on sovereignty, property rights, personal freedom. And these attacks are epitomized by the implementation of the UN policies such as Agenda 21, sustainable development, smart growth, and in education, the widespread adoption of Common Core. You know, if we, I will say one thing about Donald Trump and my assessment of the President of the United States and what power he wields or constitutionally. What power he's constitutionally limited to wield or not wield is probably a better question. But, Patrick, I look at this whole thing and I look at Trump. I watched his acceptance speech, and I don't think Donald Trump is anybody to lie. I know he shoots from the hip, and he's gotten himself in trouble just recently just by knee-jerk reacting rather than slowing down. He's a Twitter freak, and I think he really has to stop doing that. I think it's one of the things that might make him more effective. But Donald Trump has said things like, you know, the government running the school system, the federal government, he says that should be up to the states. And anything else, in an economic, a true economic perspective, since you understand economics, what is the best way to build a better mousetrap, or maybe more aptly put, the will to build a better mousetrap to go out there and market it to the public? Well, you've got mousetrap builders, and what they're going to try to do, Patrick, is build the best damn mousetrap that anybody's ever made and market it with an attractive price. But it's not just the idea of a better mousetrap. It's the idea of competing in the marketplace with better ideas. And we're being taught here that, the individual's ideas out there, you know, there's so much confusion and there's so much inequality and equity. And, you know, it's time that the better voices that are in positions to call the shots on this is what is needed. And this is what the American people have fallen for. Now, Donald Trump from the federal end is no solution to all the country's problems. It was already in the formation of this country to begin with. We were a confederation of sovereign states that created that federal government, not the other way around. The states created the federal government, and there are limitations to the power that the government can foist on the states. I see this as one of the major problems. In an educational sense, if the states really had control of their education, Pat, and their curriculum, competitively speaking, we would probably see school systems pop up in states that they're going to throw out the Common Core. They're going to throw out the last remnants of, what George Bush was promoting, you know, No Child Left Behind, or whatever the case may be. Instead of these people being social engineers, be better at reading, writing, and arithmetic. If you want to do social studies, that's fine. We're societal creatures. We're social creatures. Teach the form of government that we now have. Patrick, I'm seeing, when was the last time that you saw even a supposed conservative on Fox News when the carefully coiffured talking head uses the term democracy and there's no correction?
I know. It's democracy is the assumption these days, it appears. Of course it's democracy. Well, it's not. That, you know, we're supposed to be a republic. And a democracy is a particular Marxist concept that somehow the people themselves are able to make, you know, just popular decisions or whatever for the good of all society. And we don't live in a democracy. We don't want a democracy.
You know,
a republic.
I just saw an interview, and it was done on spur of the moment, caught by a cell phone. And I forget the politician's name in Michigan, but after the little thing broke up, there was this debate that was going on. And the guy basically said, look, you know, we vote for what the people want. We craft the bills. You know, we're in touch with the public. And the person responded by saying, wait a minute, so you're telling me that Congress is a democracy? As long as we get 51% of the people in Congress to vote on whatever idea? How about the idea of whatever you're voting on, is it within the guidelines of the Constitution and what the federal government should be involved with in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
What a moment of clarity, huh?
Absolutely. What a novel thought.
Man.
You're right. But listen, here's the question to me, and I think we're probably on the same track with Trump and just the political scene in general. If Trump were to make it to the White House, the question then comes up, will these people that are currently embedded in the executive branch, these hardcore appointed technocrats that are running the system of regulations that are choking us to death, including education, will these people willingly give up their positions and their power to hand it back to somebody like Trump when he merely asks for it? Or will it require some extra measure of force to dislodge these people from our government? I can't answer that question, but I do not think that they're going to go easily and willingly just because Trump gets elected. I think we see some of that rhetoric already coming out of Obama with his attacks on his personal attacks on Trump,
right?
Saying that he's mentally imbalanced type things, you know, that he's totally incapable. He's a joke. He's like Alfred E. Newman from Mad Magazine.
What? Not
for a word.
What? Me worry?
What? Me worry?
Yeah, that's right.
I'll kick your butt. Uh-huh. You know, whatever. But, you know, this kind of personal attack is beyond low. But you can see this kind of mentality coming. These people are not just going to walk away because the Donald gets elected.
Well, and I'm glad you brought that up, because from a political perspective, it's become clear now. Paul Ryan is not backing Trump, and Paul Ryan is running again. But here's Paul Ryan that is in favor of the TPP.
That's right.
And I'm looking, and so was Hillary Clinton, by the way, only she's lied in reverse course, as she's done many times throughout her political career. But Paul Ryan, I could see the reason why Trump didn't come out and endorse him. Ryan didn't endorse Trump. He sees him as being part of the problem. So I think in answer to your question, I think I have a little insight on that deal. One of the first things that came out of Trump's mouth when he did the acceptance speech at the Republican National Convention was that the criminals, he says, the criminality is going to stop. Now, most people would have a tendency for their thoughts to go towards, crime in the cities and in the streets of America. You know, he's going to clean that up. Oh, good. What he was specifically targeting was the criminals within our own government.
That's right.
and this makes him, now it's being suggested now, and I've been waiting till all of this confetti and the balloons fell to see how all this was going to be spun, and I'm starting to see it right now. Hillary Clinton has experience. Forget that she's a liar. Forget that she's fomented so much. The Clinton Foundation is just as clean as a houndstooth. I saw somebody on Fox News just make that statement today. But here's the deal. There are so many people that have been connected to Clinton and Bush and the Clinton Foundation. There are so many people that are dirty that I think half of Washington, D.C. would be wiped out by criminal indictment. And I think this is why you're seeing this. It's just not worrying about the big bucks and the big contracts over senseless and useless wars we're fighting, mowing people down for no damn good reason at all. No, I see this as, yeah, greed. They don't want to give up their billions. That might change. The political landscape in this country, hey, the people be damned. They're sitting there in Washington so far out of touch with everybody. We've been educating ourselves here in America. We've been getting back in touch with our history, with our form of government. We can make the judgment as to what is fair or unfair, or just or unjust, legal or illegal. We have done this. And we're sitting there and we're looking at this. And you said it may not make that much difference who gets in, Trump or Hillary. I'm going to tell you what. It's a true statement that we have two people running for office. Never before have either party been so disliked. Well, I don't think ever before have we seen a country so polarized. So I think that's where a lot of that energy is coming from. But aside from that, Patrick, I'm looking at this. And we have a guy, and I know he doesn't walk on water. I'm still not convinced that's real hair on the top of his head. But you know what? I don't give a damn. Because here is a chance for this guy to get in there and slow the wheels of what has been progressing in America for many, many years. I see this as being a little respite, a little chance to breathe. Maybe, and I could see Donald Trump getting in office, Patrick, just like he did in New York when Koch was mayor. Donald wanted to build stuff. He went to the banks. Banks just looked at him and said, hey, get the hell out of my bank. He went to Koch. He said, look, mayor, he says, we got sections of the city that are dying. He said, we need to infuse some cash in there, brighten, spruce it up, and let's get it going. Well, that's exactly what had happened. And I can see Donald Trump, when he gets into office, picking up that phone and calling those New York banks and going, excuse me, guys, you've had the credit window closed for way too long. It's about time to open up Q on that. Let's open up that window. Let's start making some investment loans so people can invest once again back in this country. The man is too practical to put him in a den of vipers and thieves, liars, and treasonous ones. And the media in this country is not going to give him a fair shake. And I'll tell you exactly how this election coming up on November 8th is going to shake out. It's going to be so close coming up to election time that they're not going to be able to call it. And if it's within a vote fix, you're going to see Hillary Clinton in office. And I Patrick, this is the one thing that scares me to death because, and I've told listeners to my program, I said, there's very little in this world that scares me. But I can see the Hillary Clinton being president of these United States, getting into office, and then the crap is going to hit the fan.
Yes, it will.
And we're going to see carnage like you have never seen.
Yeah.
And whether the people, and not Trump people, just not politicizing and putting people in a political pigeonhole, but I know if Hillary Clinton gets in there, I know exactly what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, I can see myself sitting around in my living room holding on to my AK-47. You know, yes, literally. And this country, we have a small window. We have a small opportunity here. Very brief opportunity. You're seeing this worldwide. And thanks to the internet, because I don't think we have any unbought off medias anymore anywhere on this planet.
No.
But people are revolting against the idea of a super union or the European Union or merging the United States and Central and South America into a world government. People are catching on to this. And I am afraid what the people that have constructed this and all their little minions that are making so much money off of it, what lengths they're willing to go to smash the opposition.
That's right. That's right. That's my biggest question mark right now. What lengths will they go?
I don't think there's any limit to what they will do.
I was just kind of thinking that. I mean, how many people have been murdered around the Clintons over their career? During the course of their career. I think somebody counted something like 24 or 5 people. Well, how many people have you ever known in your life that were murdered? I don't know any.
I don't personally. Either. I don't either.
This is not normal. Just basic criminal analysis. If people in anybody's orbit are dying out of proportion to the average orbit that people have in the country, then something is wrong about that particular circle of friends. And that's not even making an accusation on anybody. I'm just saying something's wrong. And people have died over the years around the Clintons way beyond any other politician that I've ever heard of in my life.
I've never asked you this question. I'll put you on the spot on the air right now. Patrick, why do you think Kennedy was killed?
Well, yeah, I'm no expert. I'm not very well read on that. I was there. I remember exactly where I was standing when I heard that he'd been assassinated.
I do as well.
And, you know, as I've looked at it off and on over the years, one thing that just sticks in my mind is that he crossed the wrong people. That's about all I can come up with. He crossed the wrong people.
Well, and one of the ways he crossed it, I mean, he was making statements, the OSS that was formed during World War II as being intelligence, that was morphed into the CIA, and he'd made statements to the effect that he wanted to spread the CIA to the four winds.
Yes.
Well, and if you're building your technocracy, you're going to need intelligence. So, you know, that's a no-no. But the biggest line that man ever crossed, in my mind, was picking up the phone one day and calling the Treasury and then issuing an executive order and telling the Treasury to print United States notes that cut out the middleman.
Yep, exactly.
And I have a funny feeling this is the same thing that Trump is going to attempt. Now, either he's going to have a contingent. He's going to have to live in a bubble in Washington, D.C. if he does that, and probably have half the United States Army guarding the Capitol.
Exactly.
But this is the after looking at all this, what has given them their power? What has given them their leverage? It's the middlemen. It's the credit people that don't want to see that system dissolved. You're seeing it melt down right in, still to this day, right in front of your very face, but that's okay. These ingenious people will come up with a brand new system. A brand new system, they'll plug it in place. See, we've dusted everything all off. Everything's fresh. Everything will start working again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a ticking time bomb that, again, it will blow up. All right, we got a short segment coming up here. We'll take a three-minute break talking with Patrick Wood today. We'll give out his website and how you can get a copy of his book.
People love to shop. What if you could shop and it was actually good for you? What if you could actually purchase items that bettered your life? What goes into your body is important to what quality of life you have. How about shopping for items that better your health? GetTheTea.com is that shopping place. We're not only tea, even though that's our number one seller, we are about helping your health. There's colostrum LD for those of you with autoimmune troubles. The product helps your stomach get on track. GI problems produce pain. Get relief with colostrum LD. How about some fat burners or maybe some joint aid or a power cleanse? There's so much to tell you with very little time. So get help health-wise at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or you can call our friendly operators at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Get help and relief by going shopping. Shop at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Serving people with great products for over 8 years. GetTheTea.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Kick down, break down, take down. Everybody waltz into the crowded line. Break down, take down. You busted, busted. Shake down, break down, take down.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. A few remaining minutes, we have Patrick Wood here. Let me remind you, the website, technocracy.news, you can go to that. And I just discovered by looking at that website, Patrick Wood's Technocracy News Hour, and that's on demand. And you can go to his website and get the link through to that as well. Patrick, how do they get a copy of your book that everybody, when I make book recommendations, I make book recommendations, and this is one I'm recommending everybody read, Technocracy Rising, The Trojan Horse of the Global Transformation. How do they get a copy of this?
Well, you know, the fastest and easiest way is just to jet over to Amazon.com and type in Technocracy Rising. It'll come up in the first selection. You can read some of the 93 five-star comments on the book that other readers have left. Maybe that will convince you to actually buy a copy. You can also get a copy on my website, technocracy.news. And if you want to buy multiple copies, like to hand some out to legislators or city leaders or your county supervisors or whatever, I've got an aggressive discount schedule on my website for buying multiple books. You buy them directly from me. But there's a Kindle version on Amazon.com as well. So your choice, dealer's choice, let's say. Take whatever you want.
Well, and I've reminded people, and this happened, Ron McDonald, I've had him on my Monday program for over 5 years, and he wrote a book called They Own It All, Including You, by Way of Toxic Currency, and I warned people. I said, what you're going to do is get a copy of this book. You're going to find it so great. The information is so good. You're going to loan it to somebody to read, and you will never get it back.
That's right.
So while you guys are up there making that order for that one book, maybe it's a good idea if you get two. One for yourself, and one you'll pass out to a friend that'll promise to give it back to you, which you'll never see again. Because this is what happens, Patrick. Yeah. Somebody gets it and goes, my God, well, okay, I'll get it back to whoever I borrowed from, but here, go ahead and get it back to me right away. It's gone.
Yeah,
you'll never see it again. All right, any parting thoughts here in the last few remaining minutes?
No, you know, the clear and present danger to America and the world, I still do believe very strongly, is technocracy. The United Nations calls it sustainable development. They call it green economy. They call it global warming, whatever. But that's what it is. It's wrapped around the concept of social justice, of course, to kind of lever their way in. But technocracy is what we need to be paying attention to.
There is very little time. They're so close. Even amidst, Patrick, they're behind in their timelines. The European Union was supposed to go swimmingly well. We were supposed to have the North American Union. We were supposed to have everything sewn up here. And, of course, the old Hegelian dialectic thesis, antithesis, you know, synthesis. That we'll see that the big disconnects here, and we've got to homogenize. We've got to move this all together. And there would have been your global governance scheme already in place. Now, they're not perfect. They're behind the times. And right now, they're on their heels because a lot of people on this planet, and there's only 7 billion plus of us, those that have seen the injustices, that have seen the deterioration of their countries, their cultures, their societies, hell, even their money, are now starting to get the clue that something is very wrong. So we have a window here.
We do, and the social justice paradigm is backfiring on them because all of a sudden they are group number one. And we are group number two, and we're basically saying we're coming for your stuff. I hate to make it sound that way, but these people have been manipulating the world stage. Have got to go. They've just got to go. In entirety, they have to go.
All righty, we are out of time. Thank you so much, Patrick. We'll speak again. Okay, sir.
You're welcome.
Okay. All right.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's N-U-M-A-N-N-A, republic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.